show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video. Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things tech. I'm your host, Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm good, especially today. We got Dean Hagelin here.
We have a special
guest. Hi, guys.
Guest in the audience. Dean is not just the face from The X-Files, who many of you may remember. He's also an inventor.
Uh-huh.
A comedian.
Who knew?
And a podcaster.
Now I am.
Yeah.
All together.
That's right.
Together at last. That's right. For those who don't know, I was Langley, one of the lone gunmen, computer hackers from The X-Files, and I had the long hair, and I looked like Garth from Wayne's World. Thank you.
I think we were all thinking it, but we weren't going
to
say it.
I know. I have to say it. I have to be the one that opens that, because, you know, I got all the emails. In fact, I think I still have the button that was made for me that said, I'm not Garth.
Not Garth.
To wear to the conventions.
Party on, Dean.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, Mike Myers was from Toronto, and
right.
I'm Canadian,
mm-hmm.
and he was at Second City when I was doing stand-up in Toronto.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and I had the long blonde hair. That was really my hair. I didn't have glasses, though.
That's where he got that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If I actually chased that down to see when he first did that character in Toronto at Second City while I was doing, you know, the comedy clubs all around there.
Copyright.
I'm saying, where did he get the
idea? Release the attorneys.
Exactly. So
let's talk about your podcast.
Fantastic. Yes, I have a podcast called From the Heart of Hollywood, where I have a production company called Rational Exuberance, and I'm right next door to an independent distribution company called Cinema Arts Entertainment. They're a foreign distribution company. And together, we are basically two small independent filmmakers. He's also a director, as mm-hmm. he works also mm-hmm. distributing film. And I'm an actor doing also production. So we get together every Monday, and we basically talk film, independent movie making, what's going on. And we try and also, you know, do it in a conscious fashion, not try to be so Hollywood. And so that we talk about all
the issues. So, Gene, how are you today?
Yeah, hey, did you go see that thing at CAA? No, it's like, what is the actual, where we, like, you know, say where the tire actually meets the road creatively when you're trying to make film. And it's, you know, it's mm-hmm. a difficult, long process, and it's expensive. And it's not like podcasting where you put a couple mics up and suddenly you're listening.
Yeah, right.
You actually have to have cameras and crew and people coming together and scripts, you know. It's a collaborative process. So that process takes a long time. So every week our podcast is about going through that process and other people who've done films and that sort of thing.
Right.
So it's a lot of fun.
I've listened to it just, because you were coming.
Thanks,
and the sign of any good podcast is one that gets me talking back.
Ah.
You were talking about the Harry Potter film. This was a couple months ago, I think it was.
Okay.
And you know, the various actors and where they were going. There weren't any spoilers in it, but I found myself going, yes, that's so right.
Well, that's the thing. We both have different – Phil's opinions are very different from mine. And so together we either disagree or – We're not animos. We're not hating each other, but there is a bones of contention that come up all
sure.
the time on it, and it's really a lot of fun that way. He's great because he actually prepares a lot of it, whereas I just go, what did I just see this week? You know what pisses me off out there? Whereas he's like, well, another thing in the news. And so from there it goes. So I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Good. Yeah, loving it.
From theheartofhollywood.com.
There you go. There. From the
good
Hollywood
Talk. Yeah.
Tell us about how you're connected. Are you in the same room, or are you doing a Skype connection? How's that work?
No, we are in the same room. Our offices are next door, and then we have a common work area where Chris, our producer, is also doing a lot of assistant work for me and pre-production work and all that sort of thing. So he's kind of the master of all trades. And both of us from our offices, hey, Chris, we need this. And we shout out to him. And yeah. then he also produces our podcast. So then I get up out of my office. The mixer board and the mics stay in his office where okay. also the network laser printer is. So he turns off the laser printer, and then we sit down and we just start chatting, which was what we were doing every Monday anyway. When okay. we're coming in before we start work, I come into his office, put my feet up on the desk, and go, "Did you see that crappy movie yesterday?" Yeah. You know, something like that.
So how did y'all decide to start putting it out as a podcast?
Some friends were over on a Monday. They said, "Wow, this is really entertaining. What do you?" We talk like this. It was like a 2-hour chat. Mm-hmm. I said, "You know, we should have more people." And then they said, "Well, why don't you just put it up on a podcast?" And then I went to Dragon Con, met up with T. Morris and Mike mm-hmm. and all those guys. Mm-hmm. And they said,
"I'm surprised you're still with it then."
No, if T doesn't scare you off.
Yeah, T did not scare. He gave me the Podcast for Dummies book, which you are rewriting. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I thought I'd just put that plug in. So yeah, you
second edition.
I've heard enough of that already.
And from there, it was like, oh, yeah, well, if you're thinking of doing it, you know, and we had the show. And so it all sort of came together magically mm-hmm. at that point. Man, it all was magic.
That's the where the box says. This is where the magic happens.
Yeah, exactly. Click here for magic. There. So easy.
Now let's talk about Dean the Inventor.
Isn't that something?
We appreciate – we saw your work with the pyramids, and what else do we
yes, I did the pyramids. Yeah. Flight. No. I invented a laptop cooling system called the Chill Pack. Goes in the freezer, goes underneath the laptop, draws the heat away from the CPU. It's got a condensation-proof sleeve so no moisture develops, and it's insulated on the bottom so your notebook can become a laptop again. That's why they call them notebooks.
This is one of those inventions where everybody hits themselves and go, why didn't I think of that?
You know, my friends that work over JPL said that exact same thing. They were working on, you know, compressors and air conditioning units and stuff like that. And they were just like, oh, well, that's so
easy. Dean, let's talk about the Mars rovers.
Yeah, exactly. I can't. I don't know about that. But what happened was the gunmen were invited up to Apple Computers for a big party, a launch of a software thing. Mm-hmm. Very sweet. And, you know, they wanted the computer geeks there. And it was at the, you know, when you're driving on the 101, mm-hmm. I'm sure when you were driving down from San Francisco, you saw that giant hangar.
We came down the 5, I think.
Oh, you didn't? Yeah. Oh, yeah, you came out of Sacramento. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You didn't come out of Palo Alto and all that in San Jose.
No, right? I wish we could have, but in order to hit the pistachio farm.
If you're going through Silicon Valley, there's a giant old blimp hangar off to the side of the freeway. And that's where the party was. Anyway, yes. Okay, so we're inside their party. And I'm getting drunk with all the engineers from Apple who had made all these titanium G4s. And they're going, yeah, you know, the problem with these things is in the future, and even now, they're going to be faster and they're going to be lighter. So we're going to have to sacrifice all sorts of cooling stuff. We make the bottom titanium to act as a heat sink for the CPU. And it's going to start warping the hard drive in 18 months. The CPU will get so hot that it'll...
Oh, I love the Apple drunk stories.
Yeah, they're so good. They say that that they actually could put the G5 dual-core processor in a laptop, but that the whole laptop itself will start melting. Like the keys will actually get sticky and start... that's how hot these things run. And that it'll affect the performance. So I go home. I'm given a lovely G4 as a gift. Hey, thanks for coming here. Well, big computer. Hooray. I'm going to go home. I'm going to watch a movie on it.
And
I throw a movie in. About an hour into it, locks up. The movie starts playing. The heat is so intense that it just stops playing the movie. And at the same time, I had a knee injury, and I had one of those blue gel pegs. I moved the laptop to my knee, and I start doing something else.
And it runs again.
And the movie starts playing again. And I went, aha, Watson, come here, I need you. Because my major was theater, but my minor was physics and exothermodynamics. And, of course, phase change. And
beautiful.
Yes.
That's an interesting little mix.
I know. Well, you had to take some elective science courses when you're doing arts.
Okay.
So it was like, oh, what can I – exothermodynamics. That sounds easy enough. And physics.
And who knew?
Who knew that it would all come – I thought I was just wasting my time going, oh, I have to do these stupid science courses.
Yeah. I have a math minor, and I haven't used it yet.
Yet. There's still a lot of time. Think of it. You have to add – 3 microphones?
Yeah, but I'm not thinking about, you know, the cardioid diagram on this microphone says.
You're not thinking that?
I am.
I'm thinking it now.
Yeah. I know the formula for a cardioid. Well, I used to. Anyway.
Anyway.
Way off track.
Hello. Back to Earth, guys.
Anyway, so I got the Chilpak manufactured, and then I start selling it online at chilpak.com, spelled P-A-K, the second part. Mm-hmm. And I just won a silver medal at the International Inventors Expo in Geneva, Switzerland last
year. Awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah, they give a little silver medal and everything. And so now it's starting to sell around the world, and we're shipping to South Africa and England and all that sort of thing. So
I really need cool. one because my G4 laptop makes noise in the studio. The fan is running because recording in the hard drive and makes it all noisy.
And the thing about a fan is it doesn't really cool down the CPU. Only if the ambient air happens to be cooler than the air around the CPU. The reason it feels cool to us is actually moisture evaporation.
Mm-hmm.
So that your sweat is actually evaporating off your skin, and that's taking the heat off. And that's what the fan does on your skin, which is why it feels cool. There's no moisture on the CPU. So the fan is only blowing, hopefully, cooler air. But here in Southern California... trying to draw it out. But here in Southern California, it's often as hot outside as it is.
Yeah.
So all you're doing is having a convection oven going on, and you're baking your CPU and hotter. So the Chilpak is a direct application of cold, much like when you sprain your thumb. Do you put a fan on it, or do you put an ice pack on it? Huh?
I'm thinking.
Okay, I'm not coming to you for any medical emergencies.
Yeah,
I don't understand. So that's been the invention. Chilpak.com. Then I'm selling a ton of them. Somebody hacked into my website, actually.
Oh, no.
Yeah. They screwed up my shopping cart.
Buggers.
No, I know. It's all fixed now. And plenty of security.
Yeah.
People.
So, don't do it again.
Yeah. Is that you? You bastard.
Shh. I was trying. I told you I need one.
Yeah.
It's not how you get them. You can simply order.
Yeah.
This is Ronald D. Moore from Battlestar Galactica, and you're listening to Technorama.
This is Bob. Before, Bob relied on the internet to enhance his geek status. After using Technorama for natural geek enhancement, Bob is rolling his 20-sided die, reciting Holy Grail lines, and answering Star Trek trivia with the best of them. And he has a happy missus at the home, too. Technorama for natural geek enhancement. Only available at chuckchat.com.
Now, you talked about Second City. Tell us about Dean the Comedian.
Dean the Comedian. Yes, I do. Yuck Yucks. I was at Yuck Yucks in Toronto. I started in Canada. And I did stand-up in Vancouver at a club called Punchlines. And at the same time, I was in an improv theater group called the Vancouver Theater Sports League, where Ryan Stiles and Colin Mochrie from Whose Line Is It Anyway started.
Oh, yeah.
So I was in the same group with them for 10, 15 years. Still good friends with them. And now, after I got on The X-Files... my written material, I had like a 45-minute set. Nobody wanted to hear it. They were talk about the X-Files. So what I did, I got invited to an X-Files convention, and I was kind of freaked out because I never actually really watched entire episodes that I wasn't in. So I was afraid. Was that too arrogant? Was that very actor of me?
Yeah.
So I was afraid that if they asked me questions about the show, I wouldn't know what to answer. So instead, I designed a show where I could improvise an episode of The X-Files by myself, bringing audience members up on stage.
Oh.
And that was so successful that now I do that at comedy clubs. And I just got back from the Fringe Festival in Edinburgh, Scotland, where I did the one-man X-Files improv show.
And X-Files on Ice is coming soon, right?
Nice. Yeah.
Dean the Skater.
I'm older.
They're doing a second movie. I don't think there's an ice show.
Are you being asked to be in that?
There's some talk, but the script isn't written yet.
Okay.
And it's not going to be a continuation of the story.
Right, sure. It was a standalone story.
It's going to be a standalone that's going to be a horror movie, apparently, grosser than the Peacock Brothers. The episode called Home. Yeah, mm-hmm. Do you remember where the mother's
Oh, that,
was, the
that freaked me out. That episode did. Of all the episodes, you know, I remember I used to watch the show, and there's a few of them that really stick out, and that's one of them.
Yeah. And that one was actually never supposed to air originally.
Yeah.
What it was Glenn Morgan and James Wong just got fired from Millennium. They just canceled the show out.
Yeah, that sucked too.
Yeah, and they said, don't worry, you just go write for the X-Files. And they went, oh yeah, we'll write for the X-Files. Look at this, huh? You'll never be able to film this. This is the grossest thing.
I'll fix you.
And then everybody in production going, don't worry, Glenn and James, they're going to write something great. We don't have to even look at the script. It's going to be fantastic. And then we all get the script 3 days before we have to shoot. It's like, what the? What? This is horrible. So then they shoot it, and it's actually the reading of the script is actually grosser than the way they filmed it. They toned down the filming of the script, if you can imagine that. And then they aired it, and all of Fox just went, we'll never show that again.
Is that why they cancel a lot of the shows? Because they probably get scared
somewhere in there. Yeah, exactly.
I think Hollywood gets a little scared sometimes of new things.
Well, it's true, because then FX was showing it in reruns, and they had the Thanksgiving X-Files marathon,
right,
where they asked the audience to vote for their favorite show, and Home won. That's everybody's favorite show. And then so the network said, okay, we'll rerun it then if that's everyone's favorite. And then so they rerun it all the time now.
Speaking of the role of Langley, was that a stretch for you? What challenges did you meet with that?
Well, you know, I guess I can't really do that much computer hacking. I still pay my taxes, that kind of thing. So I wasn't really as rebellious as as I would like to think Langley was. So, but that was really my blonde hair, and they didn't know what they were looking for. So originally, The Lone Gunman were just going to be one episode in the first season.
I think I remember that.
Yeah. And it was that EBE one, right? We just sort of show up as weird friends of Mulder. And
right.
It's supposed to give him, you know, a broader idea of who he is, sort of thing. Supposed to help
He's
develop
weird. He has weird friends.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but then what the writers realized with this, with the gunman, is that it was a great way of shortening your script by 5 or 6 pages. In that, if you had to get, you know, Mulder and Scully from point A to point B, and they had to learn all this technical stuff, like how would they know to go to the vault to open them, blow the thing up? They would have, you know, go, okay, well, we got to shorten our script to 43 pages, right? That's our television show is 43 pages long generally.
Mm-hmm.
So they would go, oh, well, why don't we bring those gunmen back and just have them recite all this, you know, technical gobbledygook.
Show them typing.
Yeah. Show them typing. And then that'll get them into the vault and that whole thing. That's it. We can, you know, simply shorten our show and get it all out and get that information and get them from point A to point B. So they kept bringing us back for that reason because it was a great
idea. You know, I remember Mulder was just like walked in like it was no big deal. And I remember they showed Skull and she looked a little like taken aback, like she just walked into Dragon Con and saw some people in Klingon outfits, you know.
And that was the whole thing. The third gunman was the hardest one to cast because he had to be, you know, saying Scully's hot.
Yeah.
And they wanted somebody, and even the director said, it's got to be somebody short and weaselly, like the first assistant director.
Yeah.
Tom, he's always hitting on her. Yeah. And Tom says, can you act? He goes, yeah, I originally had acting training in the 70s. And I only went into the production side because I had two kids and needed a regular paycheck. So they go, well, why don't you say the lines? So it was the third lone gunman was the first AD for the whole time on The X-Files.
And you know what? Y'all actually worked together really well because I really enjoyed y'all's parts. And then, of course, when they spun it off from its own show, I was like, yeah, this is going to be awesome. Of course, it didn't last.
Didn't last.
Thanks, Fox.
Thanks, Fox.
Yeah,
we were honored to be on the Fox 55 of The Family Guy, which is a term now for The Family Guy when they came back.
Yeah.
They listed, well, if we can come back, so can all these other shows. And he rattles off 55 different other shows
that
on Fox.
We
were in there. We're the Lone Gunman. It was like, you know, all of those.
Peter was sitting there reciting them all.
He actually recited all 55 shows that were canceled prematurely on Fox, which is quite hilarious. So we were honored to be. So when you see other people, you go, oh, yeah, were you on the Fox 50 Live?
Now you have to come back in cartoon form.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's not that big of a stretch. I can imagine a lone gunman.
I think how many people come back on The Simpsons.
Exactly.
Like, it's Betty White.
Exactly. How awesome is that?
Look, it's Dean Haglund.
Yeah, there he is. Well, we can only hope. Knock on wood.
Here at the Center of Podcast Studies, we know the dangers of podcasting and what you should avoid. Here's a sample.
It works.
Yes, I got it back. I got every bit of it.
It's small, fast,
does hex and block edits. But
oh, that's a good idea. I didn't think about that last time.
We're your Geek Morning Show.
That's the thing about podcasts. We can be up anytime.
Don't listen to this while operating heavy machinery. You could spit out your water. I wonder what you'd get. Okay, I'm going to stop right there and make my comment.
Hey, wake me up when you're done.
I completely missed that one.
The writers of Back to the Future didn't see that one coming. Thanks, man. I had to think about that.
For your own research materials, visit chuckchat.com/technorama. Protect yourself.
Hi, this is Grant Imahara from Mythbusters. And myth confirmed, you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
What projects are coming up?
Well, I got, I'm doing a zombie movie. At the end of October. Yes.
Good lines.
I'm at the end.
Are you a zombie?
I get to be a zombie. But at first, I'm a dick.
Is that a stretch for you?
What are the challenges with that role?
Why don't you tell me that, guys? How am I coming across here? Complete idiot?
No.
No, it's called Geeks, Gamers, and Zombies at the moment. I think they're going to come up with a better title.
I thought gamers were zombies.
Well, exactly. The idea is that they're beta testers at a gaming company, mm-hmm. and zombies attack the giant store, you know, the place that they're working in. What would that be? A warehouse? An office building?
Sounds good.
Yeah. So anyway, they have to get away from their computers and use the skills that they've learned online in real time.
Oh.
And they get access and stuff, and they kill actual zombies, and they're actually, you know, they all have headsets, and they're all coordinating,
okay.
just cleaning up on the zombies. And then I'm their boss, telling them, look, we need this beta testing done by Thursday, and they all hate me. And at the end, I'm a zombie, and they all get this.
Yeah, we need you to come in on Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. We hate you. And then when I'm the zombie, they all kind of converge on me and kill me, and everybody's happy that I get killed as a zombie.
Nice.
Yes. I'm quite happy about that. I think that'll be a great role.
I'm an IT manager. I'm not sure if I like that idea.
That's what all your staff thinks of you.
Yeah.
They'll all have a copy for you. There you go, Chuck. This is why don't you watch that? So we're doing that. Doing a comic book convention in Munster, Germany, October 7th.
Ooh,
for all your German fans listening.
We do have German fans.
Do you?
Yeah.
Please come to Munster, October 7th. The comic book convention has a German name, so go to my website and click on it.
For the correct spelling and everything.
There's dots
spelling.
Over the characters. I can't get those.
Umlaut, that I'm not sure where it goes. And then we're going to hang out in Germany and go down to Munich because it's Oktoberfest.
Oh, beautiful time to go.
Isn't that a smart time? And then come back, do the movie, do a couple of conventions. And I'm doing the Darkness Radio ghost hunt on the Queen Mary over at Long Beach.
Ooh.
December 2nd and 3rd. I'll be
performing. Oh, is that part of the dinner theater they have over there?
They have a dinner theater, but this is separate, actually.
Okay.
This is an actual ghost hunting weekend.
Oh. Because
the Queen Mary is docked in Long Beach, and it's actually haunted.
Oh.
We filmed an X-Files episode there about 5-6 years ago. And some of the crew actually stayed on the ship and said they saw ghosts, and they were all freaked out. We didn't get to stay. We were just filming and then left.
Mm.
But they said they all were freaked out by stuff there. So we're actually going to go with encounters and things like that. And I'll be performing on the main
stage. Ghost Hunter. Did you hear that?
I don't
know. There's dust on my lens. It's a glowing orb.
Everything's green. Yeah. That's the filter you're using. Oh. Well, it's scary. It's still scary. I'm scared. Yeah. So that'll be December. And then I'll be touring all of Europe, it sounds like, based on the show that I did, my X-Files improv show, because it did very well in Scotland. Looks
wonderful.
Like a tour the UK and Australia. And
that's busy man.
Busy man.
Yes, you
lucky
are.
We're lucky to have you here.
Oh, well, it's a pleasure to be here.
All right, real quick.
Yes.
What's in your gadget bag?
Right now?
Yeah.
I got the BlackBerry Pearl.
Okay. Nice.
For all my things, the Mac 17-inch, those two coordinate together. I don't know if that's really a gadget. Is that a gadget?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's tech.
It counts.
I'm drooling.
Tech. Okay. Yeah. I record our podcast on the Zoom H4.
And Craig's sitting here with his paltry H2.
I laugh at your H2.
Yes, little man.
The power of my H4 will crush your H2.
Well, see, I'm not compensating for anything.
There's now silence. No. yeah, exactly. This interview's over. No, I'm kidding.
Get out.
I'm trying to think what other gadgets I have. I have a DVD duplicator from Anatech that I take on the road with me so that when I actually...
So you can ship the videos?
Ship the videos. I can duplicate them in every 7 minutes at the table.
So do you edit them on the Mac, I guess?
I edit on the Mac, yeah.
With the cool pad.
With the chill pack underneath. Chill pack, cool pack. All kind of the same. But it's chill pack, yeah, underneath. Allows me to edit.
You're going to register coolpack.com.
Yes, no. coolpack.com.
Thanks,
chill pack.
Craig.
Chill, coolie, chili pack, chill, coolie, hottie pack. How many variations.
That's a great idea. You know, talk about just-in-time production.
That's exactly it. Because you film the show in real time. It's all improvised, so every show I do is completely different. So at the convention, you know, people who've come up on stage will want a copy. I also perform with Gary Jones from Stargate. Mm-hmm. Him and I are best of friends from Vancouver Theater Sports. Mm-hmm. And now we improvise not only Stargate episodes, which we call Star Hole. Those are hilarious. But we also do Star Trek original series, where he does Kirk and I do Spock. And I actually had a Spock wig ear eyebrow.
And these are on the DVD also?
These are on DVDs also that you can get on my website.
Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh.
So you want to have that. Ooh. Improvised episodes of Star Trek, the original series, by Gary Jones from Stargate and Dean Hagen from The X-Files. How awesome is that?
That is cool.
And then when we film those shows, and it comes out of the out of my 17-inch Mac, then I just put it into the duplicator, and one comes out every 7 minutes. And everybody gets one.
That's cool. That's a great idea.
Thank you.
That's
so
great.
There, that's a lot in my gadget bag.
Alrighty.
It's a giant gadget bag. It's a giant gadget
case. 17
inches. Yeah. Well, no, the duplicator is a foot long, too.
Who films your improv stuff?
I have my manager film, but generally it's just a straight on camera shot. So there's not a lot of fancy camera work. It's just on. I could almost do it if I had the remote control and just launch the Panasonic directly at me.
Now, have you had anybody else from the X-Files on stage with you doing those?
I have. Uh-huh. Let's see. In the early days, before my camera, I had Chris Carter and all the writers. I had Smoking Man come up and join me.
Wait a minute. So if you get Chris Carter on stage, then it's totally legal at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
You're in it.
There's no copyright infringement there.
Smoking Man, was he like backstage just in the dark?
Actually, he doesn't smoke.
He doesn't smoke. Those were fake cigarettes.
And you can't smoke in the club.
And you can't smoke in the club. Not only that, he's a champion senior water skier.
Really?
Yeah, he's got the watch and everything. He actually bought a place on a lake so he can train water skiing. His specialty is freestyle ramp. I am not kidding you.
I'm sorry, I'm getting a weird visual.
I know.
Yeah,
I'm thinking of the Fonz jumping over the shark. No.
And they were actually talking about an X-Files episode where they would have Smoking Man water skiing and see him doing stunts and stuff.
That's way too out there.
Yeah, the writers could not actually wrap their head on how to do that. But yeah, that was the plan. But so I've had them on stage.
I'm sorry, Mulder and the cigarette smoking man are hanging out on the beach just chilling.
Those little Speedos. So.
No.
You want that image?
No.
Yeah.
Mulder driving the boat.
Smoking man in his Speedos. Okay, I'm going to do a triple black flip right now. You can just watch. No. Those are some of the guys I've had on stage. And some others. Claudia Christian from Babylon 5. She comes on stage with me, as well as Denise Crosby from... She was Tasha Yar.
Yeah, that's right.
Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yeah,
she improvises with me. And I'll tell you, you would never guess the mouth on that.
Really?
She is raunchy. Mm-hmm. Like, she makes me blush and turn red.
Oh, wow.
Holy smokes. So if you want to see that... I believe that's an adults only. If you're offended by swearing, don't get the Denise Crosby DVDs.
The adult show will be on at 11:30.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
Kids.
Well, no,
go to bed.
And that's the thing. There's kids in the audience.
Why?
Yes, and Denise is going off like a trucker, and I'm like, and the kids come, and the family goes, "Ah, we love the show." Really? Did you hear what she said? Yeah, we loved it.
They didn't understand a word.
Or they understood it all and loved it. One of the two. So, yeah. So that's Denise. So you got to get that on DVD as well. And if there's any shows that you wanted to see that you missed, you can buy them on DVD.
Really?
Yes, oh, I film every show and then overnight burn out a DVD and have it available next morning at the convention.
Isn't technology wonderful?
Isn't it fantastic? Yeah. And what's at the front of every DVD? A commercial for ChillPack.
Of course. Nice tie-in.
See, look at it all comes
everything
together.
Yeah, full circle. There you go.
Exactly. So that's how it all it's called synergy, people.
Yeah.
That's the word in Hollywood.
That's it.
Well, where can people find you?
Where can they find me? I perform on the road more than in L.A. because Los Angeles has so many comedians that often you're only allotted 5 minutes of time. Whereas to actually develop a full X-Files improv, you sort of need at least a half an hour to an hour. Mm-hmm. So my show on the road is about an hour long. So I often go to comedy clubs. Where will I be performing next? And at science fiction conventions. Okay. So I'm going to be at go to DeanHaglin.com and all my appearances
are there.
Can I actually remember my schedule?
Well, that's all right, because by the time we get this out, it may be a couple weeks going by.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so that'd be the best idea.
DeanHaglin.com, click on the appearances.
Dean, it's been a real treat having you here today.
It has been
a lot of fun.
Oh, great seeing you guys. Absolutely.
All right.
Chuck and I again want to thank Dean Haglin for making the time to have an interview with us, and thank you for listening, because we appreciate your time. If you're interested in some of the other interviews we do, or would like to check out the regular show, you can do that at chuckchat.com/technorama. And give us some feedback. You can call the listener line at 206-222-2428, or you can drop either Chuck or I an email at technorama@chuckchat.com. We would also like to thank Michael R. Menengay and Summer Brooks from Farpoint Media helping us set up this interview. This show was a proud member of Friends in Tech, and you can find more about Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com. We are also affiliated with Farpoint Media. You can find lots of other shows, as well as us, over at farpointmedia.net. If you like this show and would like to get it on a regular basis, consider subscribing for free. If you need more information about how to do that, you can drop us an email at technorama@chuckchat.com. Thanks again for listening, and for Chuck Tomasi, I'm Craig Stepp, and until next time, a binary high five, 101.